Listen now to the Word of God as we read from the Gospel of John. We are told that Jesus came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by that well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink," for his disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria? Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well, and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I give them will never be thirsty. The water that I give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come back." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying I have no husband, for you have had 5 husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. And when he comes, he will proclaim all things to us." Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one who is speaking to you." Just then his disciples came, and they were astonished that he was speaking with a woman. But no one said, "What do you want?" or "Why are you speaking with her?" And so the woman left her water jar and went back to her city. And she said to the people, "Come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he?" This is the word of God. It is true, and it can be trusted for our lives this day. It is living water that refreshes. Amen. Well, you can't have missed that the theme for the day is water. And I was reminded of an interesting movie about water, a movie made in 2006 that it has now somewhat of a cult following. It was called Idiocracy. Maybe some of you saw it. The movie was about a very average young American soldier named Joe, who agreed to be cryogenically frozen for what was supposed to be a short-term military experiment. But when funding ran out, he was forgotten and remained in hibernation for 500 years. Accidentally set free from his frozen state, this very mediocre Joe finds himself in a world where he suddenly has the highest IQ of anyone on the planet. Joe is perplexed to find a people who have been reduced to the lowest common denominator. But it's no wonder. Their diet is nothing but junk food. That's all they eat. Even worse is the fact that no one drinks water anymore. The people had become convinced through massive advertising efforts that water was only good for use in our toilets. Instead, an electrolyte-rich drink called Brondo had replaced water for all other uses, including drinking and the irrigation of crops. Now Joe finds the world in a crisis. All those electrolytes over many years had poisoned the soil so that it could no longer sustain plant life. And the world was suffering from a food shortage. If it was killing the soil, imagine what kind of damage Brondo was unleashing on the humans who were drinking it. Now, the movie Idiocracy would be really funny if it weren't so near the truth. Our consumption of flavored and sugared and artificial drinks is astounding, isn't it? And I'm as guilty as anyone. We love our sodas, our Gatorade, our fast energy drinks. Even plain water has been filled with other stuff. Vitamins, fluoride, minerals, flavorings, even the infamous electrolytes. I wonder if it's our human tendency to chase after man-made things that do not satisfy. Is it our tendency to doubt the value of the simple gifts of the earth, the stuff of creation, the stuff given by God? Even in our spiritual lives, we do the same, don't we? We clamor after things that do not fill us up, that do not refresh. We clamor after that which is not very life-giving at all. Well, let's take a look at this gospel story. The story today of Jesus meeting the Samaritan woman at the well and giving her living water. Samaritans were people descended from the lost tribes of Israel. That once great nation formed by Moses and made strong by King David had split in a civil war. Each established their own holy cities, Mount Gerizim in Samaria for the Samaritans and Mount Zion in Jerusalem for the Jews. 500 years earlier, these people had been kindred. Now they were despised enemies. Each claimed to be the true descendants of Abraham. Each claimed to be the keepers of the holy covenant with God. And each rejected the other as blasphemous and sinful. Jesus and the Samaritan woman were sworn enemies. Funny then that this is the longest recorded conversation anyone in the Bible has with Jesus. He goes into this very deep theological discussion with a Samaritan and a woman at that. Women were not allowed to speak to men in public. In fact, they were completely controlled by their fathers and then later their brothers or their husbands. This is probably the reason, in fact, that this woman had been married 5 times and is now living with a man who is not her husband. She did not decide her fate. The men among her did. One husband died or abandoned her, and another would just move in to take his place. We're so quick to paint her as sinful, but notice that Jesus did not. He states the truth of her circumstances without any judgment at all. It's as if he wants to tell her that he knows her, and it does not matter. That even still, he is there to talk to her, to spend time with her, to take her seriously, to have meaningful conversation, and to bring something into her life that is new and refreshing. What Jesus offers her is real. No additives, no artificial ingredients, no substitutes. How might this story come to bear on our own lives today? We might ask ourselves, what's in our drinking water, our spiritual drinking water? What are we consuming that causes pain and suffering and shame? What is it that dehydrates our spirits rather than refreshing them? Even as we ask ourselves these questions, it's time for the church to ask these questions. The Christian faith is in crisis. We're watching people leave in vast numbers. And so we have to wonder, what are we offering the world, the community around us? Is it refreshing and good and life-giving? Or is it just a bunch of artificial sweeteners and flavorings? The Christian faith here in America was kind of rocked a couple of years ago when the Pew Forum, which is an organization that polls Americans on religious questions, released their latest report. It confirmed what we had already suspected. About one-third of our young people, 34%, between the ages of 18 and 22, report that they are religiously unaffiliated. Among all American adults, one in five today report that they do not have a religion, and by the way, they're not really looking for one. Why is that? What is happening? The study states that overwhelmingly, people think that religious organizations are too concerned with money, power, rules, and politics. Is the church almost dead? There's some good news. A UCLA study of American college students tells us that 76% of them are searching for purpose in life and meaning. 80% of those say that meaning is about their spiritual lives. It's about spiritual growth. Then why aren't they here? Why aren't there more young people flocking to our churches? Is it possible that they don't find living water in this place anymore? What about Cocoa Beach Community Church? How much of our time and energy is focused on all those crazy additives? Money, power, rules, politics. I tell you, people don't want to drink that stuff anymore. People are not looking to join an organization that always seems to be raising money. People do not want to sit in long committee meetings, especially meetings where there are arguments and power mongering. And people don't even want to be entertained, something that we falsely once believed. What do they want? Connection. Relationship. Belonging, the same things we all want. They want to find something that's sacred in life, something that's meaningful, that gives them a sense of real purpose, a reason to be here. In the classes I teach at Eastern Florida State College, about 40% of my students are involved in something called service learning. That means that on top of going to school full-time and working at least part-time, they also volunteer in local nonprofit agencies all over Brevard County. These students tell us it's the best part of their educational process. It's the piece that gives them the most sense of meaning in life. We're starting spring break this week, and a bunch of my students will be out working in mission projects. Some will be building homes in Mississippi. Others are taking care of young children in a week-long spring break activity camp here in Brevard County. And a few will be digging wells in Ecuador. That's what our young people are about. They're out there looking for living water. Living water is the real stuff of life. It's mission and service. It's making a difference in the world and in the lives of individuals. It's compassion and justice. And love. When I look at Cocoa Beach Community Church, I see a church that has all of the ingredients for life-giving ministry. Look at all the faithful people we have here with a dynamic mix of talents. Our sanctuary is full almost every week. We have incredible music, great study programs. I think we do have something life-giving to offer. And so the question becomes, how can we pour that out? How can we pour out the love of God into this community? So that people will come here to drink. Imagine mission flowing from this place in such abundance that people are signing up, old people and young people, left and right, to volunteer their time and energy to make a real difference. Imagine a judgment-free, criticism-free zone where every person could come here for sanctuary and safety. No one would talk about what they're wearing. No one would talk about how they're living. It would be a place without rules and policies, a place of love. Imagine a church that gives people real tools for building their spiritual lives, practices and disciplines, and the support for doing it. Imagine living water flowing out from Cocoa Beach Community Church. At the end of the gospel story, we're told that the disciples returned to the well with food. Whenever you're reading the stories in Scripture, the disciples always represent us. They represent the church. That's where we need to stand to know what meaning to take from this. And in the story, we find that the disciples, caught up in their old laws and traditions, are embarrassed. They're embarrassed to find their teacher talking with this Samaritan, this woman. They have brought food, but they do not invite her to eat with them. They do not talk with her at all. She's an outsider, an enemy. She has no place among them, as so many people today believe they have no place in our churches. But she's gotten what she needs, and so she leaves. She runs back to her village to tell the people about a man she has met, a man who has offered her something that is real and lasting. So fresh is the taste of this living water that the woman forgets all about her water jar and leaves it sitting there at the well. She abandons it. Leaves it behind. In order to be refreshed by God, we too will probably have to leave some things behind. We'll have to give up some old ways of doing church. We'll probably have to let go of everything here that's artificial, that's not truly part of gospel work and service. But imagine what we would get in return. Living water. The taste of God's love flowing out in and among us so powerfully that all the world would come to drink. Imagine that in our own lives and here in this community of faith. May it be so. Amen.